Skagway restaurant owners rally after a barge arrives full of spoiled food. And a proposal from a legislative committee would withhold millions of dollars in cruise ship head taxes from port communities. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. A weekly supply of produce and meat arrived in Skagway on Tuesday morning spoiled, or mostly unfit for consumption. The food was set to be distributed among the community's bustling eateries, but a few restaurant owners in town say the foodie community rallied and managed to feed the crowds of visitors during the town's busiest tourist week so far this season. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
When Lacey Stout, the owner of Glacial Smoothies and Espresso in Skagway, heard Tuesday her food shipment was ruined, her first thought was panic. But she says the reality of what happened sank in, and everyone, restaurant owners, employees, and patrons, pulled together, Skagway style. Stout says eateries were trading food to make sure each had what they needed to keep serving those wraps, burgers, and salads to the masses. The large shipment of produce and meat started its voyage in Seattle. It was there that someone made the mistake of putting the chilled goods in the freezer compartment and the frozen goods in the chilled compartment. The result was a weekly Tuesday morning supply of restaurant-bound foods that were no good. Fruits and veggies were frozen, and meat was thawed or partially thawed.
The perfect storm has hit Skagway, Alaska. It couldn't have happened on a worse week.
That's Randy Fierro, the regional supervisor for Food Services of America, the company that supplies Skagway's restaurants with weekly shipments. He says a human error was made when the shipment was loaded, and it wasn't discovered until it reached Skagway.
So when it arrived in Skagway, and realizing that it had shipped in the wrong zones, the chilled product that was frozen would be a total loss, and the frozen product that was shipped chill, some of it would have been salvageable, but food safety is our number one concern, so we chose to not let any customer have any of that product.
Fierro was raised in Skagway, so he says he understands the potential urgency when something happens to the food shipment. He says there were three factors that made this incident the perfect storm. First off, this week is Skagway's busiest cruise ship week of the season so far. Also, Monday is a Canadian holiday, so the number of visitors from the Yukon will jump. And finally, the summer schedule of two restaurant food shipments per week from FSA hasn't started yet.
All the restaurants probably ran over and cleaned out the grocery store. And so now you can't get ahead of lettuce. So what we have done to take care of our customers, and we know the concern, Skagway, Alaska has 3.5 months of tourism and they've got to get through it. What we chose to do is we took that and replaced 100% of that grocery.
Fierro says within 20 hours, FSA had a load of food on an Alaska Airlines 737 bound for Juneau and a tractor trailer loaded with meat and produce on the road to replace all the food that had to be thrown out.
Hopefully we're going to be able to replace all the restaurant's goods by this Friday.
Jan Rentmore owns the Red Onion Saloon. She says they were able to utilize food they had stockpiled.
We were lucky because we had enough product in our freezer to get us through. I think if we were another month into the season, we would have been horrible. But we just had enough.
The grocery stores still got their shipments, but restaurants that didn't had to get some supplies from the local markets. Shannon Ames works at the Fairway Market. She says they did help supply some local cafes, but their shelves are not bare. She says it wasn't disastrous at all. Fierro wouldn't say exactly how many pounds of food were lost, but he says it was a, quote, large amount of northbound freight. A tough loss, he says. Back at Glacial Smoothies, Stout says they've already received part of their replacement shipment. And she says, without the cooperation of fellow business owners, what could have been a nightmare was just a minor inconvenience. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The Alaska legislature failed to pass a budget Wednesday and will reconvene in special session next week. One proposal that was recently passed in conference committee and could come back in the special session has leaders in cruise ship port communities concerned. The measure would leave those towns without millions of dollars they normally receive from state head tax revenues. If the legislature picks up where it left off and the proposal to withhold commercial passenger vessel taxes goes forward,
it'd be devastating.
Scott Hahn is borough manager in Skagway, a town with 800 year-round residents that is flooded by 800,000 cruise ship passengers in the summer. He says his town would be left without $4 million it uses to fund port improvements and basic utilities. Here's how the passenger tax works. The money comes from a $34.50 per person tax on cruise ship visitors traveling in Alaska waters for more than 3 days. After the state receives that money, it gives out $5 per passenger to the first 7 ports of call visited. Normally, cruise ships stop in fewer than 7 ports. In FY17, the state would distribute about $15 million to communities. But with key language removed from the operating budget, the state would hold on to that money.
The system's broken and we can't keep distributing under a broken system.
That's Eagle River Senator Anna McKinnon speaking during a conference committee meeting. She voted for the proposal to take out the 7 ports of call money. No one from McKinnon's office was available to comment about what part of the system she views as broken. But she could have been referring to a recent review of the passenger tax from the State Division of the Legislative Audit. McKinnon requested the report. The audit found communities generally comply with regulations when spending head tax money, but it also said there's a threat to the solvency of the tax fund if a higher number of passengers visit a greater number of ports. The audit said Ketchikan and Juneau levying their own municipal head taxes also raises questions about the tax structure. The conference committee passed the proposal to withhold passenger taxes from port towns, but Juneau Representative Kathy Munoz doesn't think the committee's proposal will stand during the special session. She says the legislature would have to change statute to withhold passenger taxes from port communities.
So in other words, that's a pretty high bar, and I don't anticipate that that's going to happen.
Aside from Juneau and Skagway, another major port of call in southeast Alaska is Ketchikan. Dan Bockhorst is the borough manager there. He says his staff has already come up with a backup plan to pay for services like a downtown shuttle that are usually supported by passenger taxes. But he hopes those funds won't be withheld.
I am optimistic that the impoundment of the state shared taxes that occurred in the conference committee version of the state operating budget will be reversed when the Alaska legislature adopts ultimately an operating budget for the upcoming fiscal year.
$4 million for the city and borough of Ketchikan and millions more for other port communities hangs in the balance. Two new tribal court programs are getting off the ground at Central Council Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. KTOO's Elizabeth Jenkins has more on what's being done in Southeast to help reduce recidivism.
The biggest gap that I see just at the youth center is housing, safe housing.
At Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall, a framework is being created. It's part of a larger conversation to identify what's holding some people back from reaching their potential: childhood trauma, unstable home lives, and a disconnect from culture. Colleen Bilardi is one of the coordinators at Central Council's Juvenile Justice Court. She said at this point, the program is still being developed.
But what we do know is that we would like to intervene with youth who are already in the court system and also kids who may be at risk of becoming involved with the court system.
The juvenile court could take the shape of therapeutic court or family conferencing. It's funded by a $550,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Justice, spanning over 3 years. But they want to make the program sustainable. Bilardi said youth mentorship will play a key role.
And then we want to teach them traditional ways of putting up food, carving. What is it to have an elder in your life? And what does that mean to have an elder in your life?
A different program aimed at helping adult offenders is also underway. Tribal Judge Deborah O'Gara said the court primarily handles family law, but soon it will also be able to sentence some criminal cases.
It was the state court judges who came to us and said, do you guys want to be involved with this?
In April, Central Council signed the agreement with the state. Defendants who plead guilty or are found guilty will be able to have their cases transferred to Central Council. From there, they'll go through circle sentencing.
So we'll have more time to delve into what is it that you are is causing you to do this criminal behavior.
O'Gara says other tribes up north have had success with the program. Eventually, Central Council wants to offer circle sentencing beyond Juneau and into other tribal courts in Southeast. In Juneau, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.